This program is brought to you by Babaway Media, overseen by the elders of the Chipman Road Church of Christ in Lee's Summit, Missouri. Thank you for joining us today here on Coffee with Zach and Russ. Hello again to you, and welcome you back to Coffee with Zach and Russ. And with us today is our guest speaker, Brother Brendan Carr. We do want to welcome him to our podcast. Brother Brendan is in the area this week doing a gospel meeting there in Olathe, Kansas, at the Park Street Church of Christ. And so if you're in the area, be sure to stop by and to join in with that gospel meeting, or go to their YouTube channel, Olathe Church of Christ YouTube channel, and watch those lessons there as well. Our lesson today, the thoughts we'll be looking at are, of course, there's many, many thoughts on this, but we're going to look at just a few of them today, is looking at how I want to be more like Jesus. And I want to start just by reading one of our key texts here for today from 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, where the Bible says, For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. You know, this also reminds me there of, I think it's 1 John 5, I may be wrong on that, what tells us that we are to, you know, those who want to be like Christ, I want to paraphrase this, should walk just as he walked, right? That's the phrase that I'm thinking of. And now that reminds me a lot of this here. You know, when we say we want to be more like Jesus, and I brought this up before in our OEBS class, and probably on this podcast as well, that we hear people sometimes say, well, I want to be like the Apostle Paul, or I want to be like so-and-so. And I tell them, you better buckle up when you say something like that, because you look at the things they endured. People, they can say that, and it's kind of almost like a social kind of thing. It's a cliche kind of thing to say, you know. I know one person told me he wasn't a big fan of a lot of the Christian t-shirts, because people who wear them sometimes are not living that out. And it makes a fair point. And same idea when someone says, I want to be more like this person or this person from the Bible. We need to be careful with that. But we definitely want to be more like Jesus, obviously. He is the one who we want to be more like. And we have to realize what that entails. And so I'm going to stop there and let Brother Zach add anything he'd like as we continue on looking at this idea of I want to be more like Jesus.
You know, I really appreciate this topic that we're looking at. I want to be like Christ, because that is the goal, right? I mean, you look at the word Christian as it's found within the text, actually only found three times within Scripture. But you look at that word, and what I always try to tell people, a basic definition of the word Christian is Christ-like. And so if I'm striving to be a Christian, I should be striving to be Christ-like. Now, you brought up an interesting point, you know, that sometimes people will say, well, I want to be like the Apostle Paul and do this and that, or I want to be like Peter and do this or that. And that's okay if you understand what they were doing. For example, when you consider what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 1, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ, or be ye imitators of me, as I also imitate Christ. You pair that with what he would say in Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20, I am crucified with Christ. No longer I live, but Christ who liveth in me. And so when someone seen the Apostle Paul, who they were really seeing was Christ. They weren't seeing Paul. And when we live as Christians, that should be that for us too. When someone looks at Zach Hall, they shouldn't see Zach Hall. They should see Christ, because as we're talking about, I want to be more like Christ. You know, we've already looked at 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 21. I always think of Philippians chapter number 2, specifically verse number 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So everything we do as far as our Christian life is concerned should be about, what can I do today to be more like Christ?
Yeah, I mean, you brothers are making excellent points. I do, there in 1 Peter 2:21, that idea of following his example is the idea of an underwriting. The Greek word literally there is hupogrammos, an underwriting. And it's the idea of like a template, like when we learned how to write the alphabet. You know, your teachers probably gave you a piece of paper where you follow the outline. Well, that's the idea, that Jesus has given us the steps in which we must walk, and we look unto him. You know, you can also think of like Hebrews 12, 1 and verse 2, 1 and 2, that we are looking unto Jesus. We are looking to him, not just as our finish line, but also as our example for how we ought to live. And so, you know, you know, when we think about this idea of I want to be more like Jesus, and I somehow always find a way to get back to this, but it really has its heart dealt with authority. That my authority must come from Christ. It shouldn't come from man, that I must walk in the steps of the Savior. And if I step out of line, I don't follow in his steps, well, then I'm not following his authority. And so, I mean, we should all have this cry, I want to be more like Jesus, because he is. He's the example. We look in like Matthew chapter 17, Matthew chapter number 3. You know, when Jesus is baptized in Matthew 3, what does the Father say? This is my beloved Son, and what? And whom I am well pleased. He says the same thing in Matthew 17. And he says even more unto Peter, who wanted to build a temple unto Moses and Elijah. And he says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And so ultimately, when we talk about our role model, whether it be Peter or whether it be Paul, their role model was Christ. And so we need to make our role model. We need to have this cry, I want to be more like Jesus.
You know, and to be more like Jesus, and we have to learn more about him, right?
That's right.
And the verse I was mentioning earlier was actually 1 John 2 and verse 6, before I forget. It wasn't 1 John 5. But 1 John 2 and verse 6 talks about there how we were to walk in his steps. But if you look over at James 4 and verse 8, you know, I think about this a lot. I tell people, if you want to grow closer to God, you have to know more about him. I mean, it's just the same way with our wives. You want to grow closer to them, you have to know more about him. You can't grow closer to someone who you know nothing about. And James 4 and verse 8, he says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Now we know in context, he's not talking about the idea of us learning more about him, growing closer. But the idea there is that resisting the devil, keeping close to God, and putting focusing in, you'll be close. As you draw closer to God, he'll draw closer to you. But if you look at 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, I think the idea is still the same, that as we learn more about God and his word, the closer we're going to become. You know, it's like, I don't know why this is in my head this morning. It's like when you're dating someone for the first time, you ask a lot of questions, you ask what their interests are, and on, because you want to learn about them and to eventually grow closer. It's the same way with God. And how do we do that? We don't literally ask questions, but we get into his word and we find answers to the questions that we have. And when we do that, we will grow closer to him. And as we grow closer to him, and we will learn about, of course, his son, and then we'll find we want to, or we should find, we want to be more like Jesus, as we've been talking about this morning. Go ahead, Zach.
Yeah, you know, being like Jesus implies, to your point, we have to look at the word. Because the only way that we're going to know how Jesus did things, how Jesus reacted to things, is through the word. The word is what tells us how Jesus did things, how Jesus interacted with things. We, of course, know 2 Timothy chapter number 3 that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Why is it given by inspiration? Because we can fulfill those things that are listed there in verse number 17, but we can start to see the mindset of Jesus. And if I want to be more like Jesus, I need to have the mindset like Jesus. I need to think like Jesus. I need to start thinking that way. Now, when we say thinking like Jesus, of course, we have to understand that we're never going to think like Jesus in the sense that we have all revelation or all knowledge, because we're not going to have that. But you know, there's a beautiful passage. And, you know, this, I'm using my tablet for my Bible, and I didn't bring my physical Bible with me. And it's times like this where I wish I'd have brought it with me, because I've got a passage of scripture in the book of Colossians, and it slips my mind now. But Paul talks about the mystery. It's in Colossians.
Ephesians 3.
Is it Ephesians 3? Ephesians 3. I think Brendan knows what I'm talking about here. Yeah, Ephesians 3, look at this, because again, we already referenced Paul saying you can imitate me because I'm imitating Christ, and if we're wanting to think like Christ, how did Paul think like Christ? Notice this here, Ephesians chapter number 3, starting in verse number 3, he says, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote aforetime in a few words. So Paul is saying there in verse number 3, listen, I have the knowledge that I have because I am inspired. This revelation was given to me. Okay, well, we're not going to have revelation given to us in the sense that it was given to Paul. But notice what Paul says we can do by what he wrote. Verse number 4, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So Paul learned to think like Christ because that revelation was given to him. We can start to think like Christ when we read the scriptures. And that's beautiful because me and Brendan were talking earlier this week, and you know, some brethren have this idea that I have enough knowledge of the Bible, I have enough knowledge of the scripture, I no longer need to study, I no longer need to grow. And that mindset is deadly. That mindset is dangerous. We need to not be like that, but be like the Bereans who search the scriptures daily. Why are they searching the scriptures? We know the text says to find out whether there's things or so, but could we not also say that they're searching the scriptures so they can think more like Christ as a Christian? I think so. The only way that we're going to start to think like Christ is to get into his word. I've said too much, Brennan.
Well, no, I don't. I think you're hitting an excellent point. I mean, and that kind of hits a soapbox that I hit a lot because I've had brethren here recently tell me that, hey, I don't need to study the Bible. I know enough just to get by, and that's not how it works. You know, if I'm going to grow closer, if I'm going to become more mature as I ought to, you brothers have already referenced there 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Verse 17 tells us the reason or one of the benefits that we study is that way we may become perfect or mature, that we become complete. Now, I do want to mention something there in Ephesians 3 and verse 4, that idea of whereby when you read. That Greek word literally means to know accurately, to have a knowledge of. And so a lot of people will say, well, we can't know what Paul knew. Well, if we can't know what Paul knew, then he didn't write very well. I mean, maybe that's a very bold statement to make, but here he makes it very plain in verse number 4. When ye read, ye may understand. You can know my knowledge of this mystery. And by the way, the mystery in context there in verse number 6, that Jew and Gentile can be in the same body. And so, you know, but, you know, going back to this idea of I want to think like Jesus, I need to have the mindset of Jesus. And so, you know, Zach's already mentioned Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 5, that let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus our Lord. And just the logical question that comes across, how can I be more like Jesus if I'm not willing to study what Jesus did? How can I be more like my Lord and Savior if I don't know how he reacted to the various situations? I mean, the life of Jesus, I mean, he dealt a lot with people that absolutely despised him. And a lot of brethren, you'll deal with a lot of people. Every Christian will deal with people that despise them. Well, how are we supposed to react? Well, how did our Lord react? You know.
You know, this makes me think about probably one of the most. There's a lot of very, I should say, famous or popular psalms, but Psalm 1 in verse 2 deals with this idea of spending time in God's law when he says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." That is dedication. You know, when people say things like, you know, I don't need to study, I got no enough to get by, that's depressing to hear. But I remember years ago, I sound like an old man, but I remember years ago, I got up to go use the restroom at a congregation. When I came back, I saw a deacon sitting in an office and had his feet up, was reading the paper. Bible class was going on. And I went and sat down, and I'll never forget that. Now, I hope that man's attitude about things has changed, but I saw that and it just stuck with me. It makes me think about what you guys are talking about now, because his attitude, you know, he didn't have to say anything, but his attitude was, I know enough, you know, and people don't have to say those kinds of things. Their attitudes can bear it out when they could be at a Bible class and aren't, when they could be at worship and they're not. They're saying is that I'm good enough just as I am, which is a very scary place to be. We also reminded, you know, as I was thinking about this, I'm looking through some of our material here. I was thinking about First Peter 2 and verse 9. I'll get back over there. First Peter 2 and verse 9 reminds us how To be more like Christ means we have to be less like the world. In 1 Peter 2 and verse 9, he says, "You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation." Then what I'm focused on here is when he says, "His own special people." His own shows that ownership. That is, we belong to the Lord. We don't belong to the world. And so you can't be like someone, you can't grow closer to them if you're still clinging to something else or another way of life. You know, you can't truly be married if you're still trying to cling to your old lifestyle as a single person. That's not going to work. And so same way, if we're going to try to be like Christ, we can't try to cling to that old old lifestyle of a non-Christian. And so at the same time, try to be like Christ. You know, the Bible tells us you cannot love God and mammon. And so we have to choose one or the other. We have to choose one or the other. And, you know, we find throughout the Bible there's plenty of places where we are to make choices. And if we don't choose carefully, there's going to be eternal, eternal consequence no matter which way we choose. And so we have to make sure we choose very carefully.
Yeah, you know, you talk about that, you know, choosing what we're going to do. You know, I think about choosing, and, you know, a lot of people, their mind goes to, of course, Joshua chapter number 24, when he was standing there, and, you know, he put that choice before the people, you know, choose whom you're going to serve this day. If you don't want to go over there on the other side of the river and you want to serve the gods and the Amorites, he said, you go ahead and go do that. But he says, as for me and my household, we're going to serve Jehovah. And then, you know, I always think about Elijah on Mount Carmel there in First Kings chapter 18, when he calls all of Israel to Mount Carmel there in First Kings chapter 18. He says, how long stand ye halt between two opinions? If Baal be God, serve him. If Jehovah be God, serve him. And the people answered him not a word. The people didn't answer him a word because they were afraid to commit. They were not willing to commit to God. They were not willing to commit to Jehovah. And if we're going to be like Christ, we have to think like Christ, and we have to be willing to commit ourselves to the cause of God no matter what. You know, there's a beautiful passage, right? Go over to, and Brendan has brought this out several times, in our gospel meeting over at Olathe. And I realize by the time that this podcast airs, that gospel meeting will actually be over. So I do encourage you to go to our website or our YouTube page and watch these lessons, because Brother Brendan has done, he's done just an excellent job of doing those things. But you think about what he is saying in the book of Hebrews, and I had it here, and I lost it. Well, I'll just make the point this way. You remember in Matthew chapter 20, man, when your mind freezes up, gentlemen, it's a terrible thing. I'm just going to place it for you. Jesus is in the garden, and Luke deals with this, and he's in the garden, and he's praying to the Father.
Hebrews 5.
I was in Hebrews 5.
Yeah, Hebrews 5. Whenever he's praying.
Yes.
Yeah, that's roundabout.
Go like there it is, verse 7. I was right there. Go over to Hebrews 5, verse 7. I'm glad Brendan's here. He's keeping me on track this morning. Apparently, I haven't had enough coffee. But you look in verse number 7, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication, with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Christ was thinking so much about the will of the Father that he's praying. And a lot of times, you know, that prayer, let this cup pass from me. But what else does he say?
Not my will.
Not my will,
but thine be done.
But thine. You know, a lot of people, they want to do the will of God until it doesn't line up with their own will. They want to say, my will be done, not thine. But if we're going to be Christians, if we're going to think like Jesus, we have to put God first. And I would be amiss if I didn't throw Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 33 in there. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things are going to be added unto you. If I'm going to think like Jesus, then my priorities have to be in the proper place. And again, it goes back to what we mentioned earlier. The only way that that's going to happen is through proper study of the Word of God.
Well, you brothers have mentioned it very well, very aptly, this idea of Jesus being our master. And, you know, you go to there to Matthew chapter 6 where Jesus says, you know, a man cannot have two masters. Notice Jesus doesn't say a man cannot have zero masters, because it doesn't matter. Romans chapter 6, we're a servant. We have a master no matter what. And it depends on who we choose to serve. Mm-hmm. And our society has an utter repudiation for this idea of being servants or slaves. And I mean, of course, when we look at our history, is it absolutely despicable? 100%. But the fact of the matter is, we are servants. We are slaves of something. And so when you look, I appreciated Russ's point in 1 Peter 2:9 that we are his own special people. But also you look there in like Titus chapter 2, in verse number 14, at the very end. A lot of times we read that it says that he might purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. And a lot of preachers just say, oh, well, that's his own special people. The Greek word peculiar literally means purchased. His own purchased people. And so it's the idea that he has purified to himself a purchased possession. And so Christians have chosen to be slaves or servants of Christ, and we have been purchased by Christ, and therefore our works and our will is no longer according to our own. We must do the works and will of the Master. That aligns with like Matthew 28, there in 18 and 19, where it says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son of the Holy Ghost. Well, that Greek word in is literally into the name of, and it's the idea of a transferal of ownership. And so we are being purchased. Christians have chosen to become submissive unto their new master. And so when we have this idea and this doctrine in the scriptures of Christians being servants, it's not that it's been forced upon us. We have chosen it. It's indentured servitude. We have gone to the master. We have obeyed and said, not my will, but thine be done. And so, you know, it underlines the perfect nature of Jesus, number one, because he was obedient and submissive unto his Father. I think Zach has mentioned that very, very well. I also think of John 4 and verse 34, thereafter he talked with the Samaritan woman. And there as the woman goes back into the city Sychar, and you have his disciples come back out unto him with food, and what are they urging him to do? They're saying, Master, what? Master, eat. Well, Jesus tells them, I have food or meat to eat that ye know not of. Well, and they start wondering amongst themselves, well, you know, the way Brendan Carr puts it is, did somebody hand him a hot dog while we were gone? Somebody give him a corn dog or something? And Jesus turns around and says, no, my will right now, look out amongst you. You go later there in the text, verse 35 and following, that he says, look out into the field, for they're white for harvest. Look at the people. They're ready to be harvested. And so in that moment where he was wearied, where he was very weak from his travels, yet he sees the people, and rather than eating, he goes and he is reaping the harvest. And so again, that's the idea of sacrificing his own will to do the will of his Father.
Mm-hmm. You know, if you think of being a servant, as we moved into this next point here, being obedient and submissive. Submissive is a word that people today cringe at, and it irritates me because it is one that's very biblical and seen throughout the Bible. And one that really gets me, of course, people not being submissive to the Lord, obviously, but, you know, with a lot of feminist ideas, people read verses like Ephesians 5:22, it says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. And what we fail to realize sometimes, or maybe not us, but others sometimes fail to realize, if you look at it in verse 25, and look what it says about husbands. It says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ has loved the church and gave himself for her. That is a huge type of love. That is a sacrificial. That is a idea of providing for your spouse just as Christ provided for the church. Obviously, he bought it with his own blood. And so when you think about all it says about husbands in their treatment of their wives, and then you read how wives are to submit to their own husbands, you'd think, well, okay, that shouldn't be a problem because look what the husbands are going to do. We'll look at their own role. And similarly with us as Christians, when people say, well, being submissive, you know, that just sounds terrible. They won't say that, but their actions, well, sometimes it will. their actions view say that. You know, I remember one time I was out in Kansas somewhere doing a tryout, right? You know, we all love that phrase, tryout.
Yeah.
I remember we were having a meal that Saturday night before the services the next day. And of course, as they do, they ask the possible new preacher all kinds of questions. And of course, one came up and I answered it. I just quoted verses. And one man said, well, I know what the Bible says, but I believe. Mm-hmm. And what he was saying is, I know what the Bible says, but I'm not going to submit to it. I don't care. That's what he was really saying. And being a younger man, boy, I sound old. Being a younger man, I just spat it out and said, well, that's your problem right there. And it is. I mean, it wasn't untrue. And it is that it was his problem. He wasn't willing to be submissive to what the scriptures actually teach. And if we are not going to be submissive to the Lord, then we can never be like him. We can never be more like him if we're not submissive to him. If we can't listen to what he says, it's like, you know, people say they want to be, oh, maybe like your dad or something. And maybe in just certain ways, but maybe not, you know, whatever. Well, you know, if you don't ever listen to what your parents tell you to do, can you really be like them? Probably not. I mean, we're going to disobey at times, but if we're never submissive and have no desire, we're just rebellious all the time, how can we be more like Christ? It's not possible. So that's what I think about when I think about being submissive. We have to, or being more like Christ, it includes being submissive. But that word just, it's a scary word for people. But that's just because today people don't want to do, we don't like to be told what to do. And that's how people view it. And it's not, I don't think it's, we should look at it as being told what to do. We're being looked at how, this is how you get to heaven. If you choose a different way, it's not going to work. You know, if you try to go to New York going, instead of going to East, you go West, you say, well, yeah, you can eventually get there at some point if you take the boats or whatever, but reality is going West the way you're supposed to go? No, it's not. And so same way with God, we can never be closer to God. We can never be more like Jesus if we choose to go the opposite way. There's only two paths in the Bible. One leads to heaven, one leads to hell. One leads to God, one doesn't. And that's what it amounts to. We can never be more like Christ if we choose that broad path that everybody else is going down, or so many are going down.
You know, you made mention of that gentleman that said, you know, I know what the Bible says, but... Mm-hmm. And to me, that is such a terrifying statement. But the reality is, there are so many people that are making that statement, either because, like him, they're actually saying it, mm-hmm. or B, as you even pointed out, their actions dictate, you know, actions sometimes and oftentimes speak louder than words. But this is something that I think people miss out. Now, Christ, we understand that he was willingly submissive to the Father. And we are all thankful that he was willingly submissive to the Father. You know, sometimes we sing that song, he could have called 10,000 angels. I tell the people at Park Street all the time, when we sing that song, I always think in the back of my head, I'm so thankful that he didn't. Because if he would have called those angels, we would have no hope. We'd be pitiful people. But I want to make this point because I think it's so important. Because to your point, Russ, people do not like the word submissive. They don't like the idea that they have to submit to something. Well, there's a phrase that's interesting. You go over to Philippians chapter number 2, and we've already made reference to this passage several times. Verse 5, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. And then it goes on down. Talking about things that he did. Verse number 7, took upon himself the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. He humbled himself. Verse number 8, became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. But then you get down as the result of Jesus willing to do those things. Verse number 9, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of the Father. So you think about there the point that Paul's making in Philippians chapter number 2 there, that because of what Christ did, we should want to submit to him. It should cause us to submit to him. But then I think about something that Paul wrote in an earlier book in Romans chapter 14 and verse number 11, when he writes, "For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." Now, for those that are listening, did you catch the difference? In Philippians chapter number 2, because of what Jesus did, every person should submit. Every person should bow. But in Romans chapter 14, there's a day coming that every person will submit, whether we want to or not. And so as I heard one preacher say one time, why don't we do it now? Why don't we submit to God now while we have the choice, instead of having to do it later where we'll just submit to God and then be lost to hell for all eternity? And so looking to Jesus is that perfect example on how to be obedient and how to be submissive.
Yeah. I think one of the... I never thought about this passage or really stopped to ponder it, but I think one of the most perplexing passages in the Bible along the lines of submission and obedience is Hebrews 5:8. There where it talks about Jesus, whom we know Jesus is God, John chapter 1, verse number 1. And we know that he became flesh, John 1:14, and dwelt among us. And that he was able to read the hearts of those that were around him. But you have in verse 8 of Hebrews 5, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. You know, it is a fact, an undeniable fact in our world, that some people get out of consequences or get out of responsibilities that they must do because of who their parents are. But just because Jesus is the Son of God doesn't mean he got an exemption from what he had to go through and what he had to suffer. And I think the most perplexing part of Hebrews 5:8 is he had to learn obedience. Unmistakably a reference to Jesus in the garden praying, as Zach made reference to earlier, not my will, but thine be done. I think one of the best illustrations I've heard about submission comes from Brother B.J. Clark, and he gave this illustration on submission of like a farmer had two sons, and the farmer died and said, okay, well, here's your inheritance, but you have to do three things first. You have to go to the east side and build a fence. And they say, Dad, you're a genius. We think you're right. Let's go do it. Okay, now you got to go to the west side and dig a well. Okay, Dad, we think you're right. You know, that's a genius move. Let's go and build that well. And then he says, all right, now on the north side of the farm, go and build a barn. And then the sons say, well, we don't think you're right in that one, Dad. We think it's better suited to the southern side of the farm. And then the question goes, well, to which one of the commands did the sons become obedient and submissive to? Well, if you were like me the first time I heard it, you'd have said two out of the three. But they weren't submissive to any of them. I mean, you think about, well, what was the common phrase that we read or that we heard in the first two examples? What did they say? We think you're right, and so we're going to do it. And then when it came to the third one, they didn't agree, and then they went and did their own thing. And so you have, when we talk about submission, it doesn't matter what we think. Going back to that example Russ brought up, I don't know the Bible, but, or I know the Bible, but. Mm-hmm. That's the idea of, okay, I know the Bible, but I don't need it, right? And really, that's a statement of ignorance, and they don't know the Bible, because the Bible doesn't want you to live in ignorance. The God has given us what we need to life and godliness, 2 Peter 1 and verse number 3. And so it's imperative for us to become obedient and submissive like Jesus, because following Hebrews 5:8, lo, he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, that he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. And so for me, if I want to go to heaven, which that shouldn't be, you know, that's my desire. I want to have a home in heaven with God. But my ultimate desire is to please the Father, like Jesus did, 2 Corinthians rather 5 and verse number 9, then that is my reward because of my obedience and my submission. And so I have to get onto myself all the time just to make this personal to me, because there are times where I'm like, I see a command of God. I'm like, yeah, but. Well, there shouldn't be no but. God says do it. you know, there's no but about it. That's it. You know, all three of us here are parents. Now, my children are very young, so I can't really reason with them. But, you know, it's they're going to learn, as your children have learned, that, hey, I said something and you need to do it, and there's a good reason why I said it, because I know better than you. There's a reason behind these. And so submission is not just, you know, something that's what's the word I should use? It's not something that's suggested. It's an imperative. It's something that we must do as Christians.
And, you know, I like the illustration there you gave about the who was obedient, because it's not obedience to just go along when you agree with people.
That's right.
You know, we have people, and you can pick any congregation. I think any of them can be guilty of it from time to time, where deacons are quote-unquote submissive as long as they agree with what is being done by the elders. And when it's something they don't agree with, then they're not submissive. Well, they're not submissive at all. Yeah, if that's the case, you know. You know, I think sometimes, you know, to your point, we view submission as something that, you know, we're not going to be perfect all the time. We're going to make mistakes because human beings have human desires, you know. And so we're going to balk from time to time. But the bigger issue is making sure that we get that in line and make sure we rein that in. Now, I'm going to let Brother Zach and Brother Brandon make any comments they'd like as we get ready to close this out, as we reach our 35-minute mark here. And so you guys go and make any comments you like, and then I'll close this out here in just a moment.
The only thing I'd just like to add to our study today is just a note of encouragement, because, you know, sometimes, you know, we talk about things, and, you know, sometimes it feels like, oh, well, they're hammering. Well, we don't mean to hammer. But one of the things that, you know, the purpose of this podcast and the other things that we do really is to encourage. And sometimes, you know, we have to take a step back. Zachary Hall has to take a step back and look at his life and go, well, am I truly submissive in these things? But here's where the rubber meets the road, so to say. If I am going to make it to heaven, I have to be more like Jesus. And if that requires, as Paul even had to do to Peter, someone withstanding me to the face, then I hope and pray that my brethren will withstand me to the face. And so our goal is to make sure that we get to heaven, and the only way we're getting to heaven is being more like Jesus.
All I have to say is amen.
You know, we have covered just a few of these things this morning. And when we come back next time, we're going to be looking at more of these things concerning I want to be more like Jesus. You know, this kind of my mind rolls back to where we began there with a key text that we had here in 1 Peter 2:21, and then also when I brought up 1 John 2:6. If we want to be more like Jesus, we better make sure we understand what we're talking about, what we're trying to say, and what's going to be involved in it. Because being a Christian is not for the faint of heart. Okay, we're going to stop there this morning. We do thank you for being here with us. We hope to see you again next time here on Coffee with Zach and Russ. And we thank Brother Brendan for being here with us today. We thank you for joining us today. We hope you have enjoyed this program. You can find out more about Bible Way Media by visiting us at BibleWayMedia.org. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can find all of our podcasts on all major podcast platforms. As always, we thank you for listening.